This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
In the new movie Strays, four talking dogs embark on an incredible journey, homeward bound style.
Strays may have cute talking animals, but it's an R-rated comedy in which Will Ferrell and Jamie Foxx dish out filthy jokes amid a story of bloody revenge. I'm Aisha Harris.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. Today we are talking about Strays on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just the two of us today. Strays is the live-action story of four dogs. There's Bug, a hard-bitten stray voiced by Jamie Foxx. Maggie, voiced by Isla Fisher, isn't a stray, but she got sidelined when her owner acquired a newer, cuter dog. Hunter, voiced by Randall Park, is a Great Dane who works as a therapy dog after flunking the police academy. And then there's our hero, our lead dog, if you will, Reggie. He's voiced by Will Ferrell. Reggie doesn't actually realize he's a stray at first. His owner, Doug, played by Will Forte, keeps trying to abandon him. Reggie thinks he's playing a game only to return home and restart the process where Doug tries to abandon him all over again. At first, the four dogs team up to help Reggie reunite with Doug, but along the way, Reggie comes to realize that Doug is a dirtbag and not such a good guy after all, which shifts Reggie's motivation from a reunion to revenge. Strays was directed by Josh Greenbaum, who did Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, and written by Dan Peralt, who worked on Players and American Vandal. Strays is in theaters now. Aisha, I know you to be a discerning cinephile, and I know you to be a dog owner. So what did you think of Strays?
This is cinema. So if you are like me and have been to the movies in the past few months, especially if you've gone to, like, say, a raunchy comedy, whether it's Joyride or the No Hard Feelings, a Jennifer Lawrence movie, you probably saw a trailer for this film.
Sure.
And we're like, I kind of like these actors, but I don't know about this premise. Looks kind of silly. There's talking dogs. What is going on here? And in the trailer, they actually don't tout the Barb and Star or the American Vandal connections. They say, like, from the humans who brought you 21 Jump Street. Okay, I remember really liking that movie when it came out. Sure. And the studio that brought you Ted. Okay.
Okay.
And I feel as though if they had led with Barb and Star in American Vandal, someone like myself would have been more all in than I was initially when I watched the trailer. So when I saw the movie, I was like, you know what? This is actually kind of funny. Like, it's funny, and it also is not just raunchy. Yes, there are so many jokes about private parts and humping and sexual things, and also really, really gross out moments. It is as advertised, but it's also, I think, a little bit meatier and a little bit more thoughtful than advertised. Mm-hmm. And so I was, you know, charmed by this movie by the end of it. It's fun. And if you don't mind a lot of poop jokes.
A lot.
or if you like her poop jokes alongside, you know, some thoughtful commentary about dogs and also abusive relationships. Again, American Vandal had a whole thing about poop jokes, like all that stuff. So this is right in line. So I enjoyed it. But I'm curious how you felt about this, Steven.
Well, I mean, I think it's really important to set your expectations accordingly. You're walking into the theater to see a movie, an R-rated comedy about talking dogs.
Yeah.
It's not Oppenheimer. It's like half as long.
Yes. that's already a pro in my column.
Exactly. And so, you know, part of the experience of like reviewing or commenting on a movie like this is you take it for what it is, right? We can kind of apply two different sets of judgments. Like, is this a great talking dog movie? Is this a great movie? How does this compare to other talking dog movies or other raunchy comedies? How does it compare to Oppenheimer? Honestly, on just about any scale, I really enjoyed it. It's, yeah. You know, your mileage may vary. How many poop jokes do you want?
Goodness.
How many humping jokes do you want? For me, the answer is about 900. This movie takes the over on that. It probably exhausts its premise.
Wait, Steven, I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you think when Fergie was crafting the masterpiece London Bridge several, you know, over a decade ago, she imagined that that song would also soundtrack a moment where dogs collude to take a lot of poops in order to distract a prison guard?
I like to think that is consistent with Founder's intent.
Yes. Me too.
that's part of what Fergie had in mind. The fact of the matter is, like, we can apply, like, our, you know, discerning critical faculties and be like, I don't know about poop jokes. I don't necessarily make quite this many poop jokes in a given day. But I'm sitting there, like, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, you give yourself away when you watch a movie like this. I might think I'm more critically discerning than I am when I'm sitting there snickering at some of these things, or just simple just deployment of F-bombs.
Yeah.
There's a kind of a running gag when these animals like encounter other animals. They'll sometimes like subtitle the nonverbal looks. Like there's a scene where like dogs are walking through an alley and they see a couple of stray cats. They like glare at the stray cats and the subtitle is just basically just an F-bomb.
Yeah.
And like a day later, I was still laughing about it.
It's great.
And so like I can sit here and be like, I don't know, that's pretty lowbrow, but I'm sitting there like guffawing.
Yeah.
And so to me, like I recommend it as a communal experience. Mm-hmm. I recommend it, like, if you're going to see it in the theater, see it with your buddies. If you're going to see it at home, see it with your buddies. It is fun. And I think, among other things, this kind of movie with this kind of comedy talent working on it is going to be about as punched up as a script can be.
Yeah.
Like, you have opportunities to drop 1,000 jokes into this because you can just go back and add them. I think they leaned into that idea and really throw a lot of jokes at you.
Yeah. May I suggest, though, maybe not taking your kids to this movie?
Well, my kids are 22 and 19.
Well, okay. So at my screening, there is a family of maybe 4 or 5, and two of the people looked like they were, you know, under the age of 10 with their parents. There is a moment in the film where Hunter, who's voiced by Randall Park, all the dogs are playing in the sprinklers. They just drank a lot of booze. And they're playing in the sprinklers, and there's a running gag that Hunter and Maggie have a crush on each other openly.
Yes.
And they also talk about how well-endowed Hunter is. And there's a moment where there's a slow motion where he's shaking off like a dog does, and the close-up of his privates. And that is when the family of 4 or 5 decided they'd finally had enough. This was like 20 minutes into the film after there had been multiple you know, the Will Forte character pleasuring himself moments. Like, what is your threshold here? Also, did you not watch the trailer for this film? It's clearly not for kids. So I would suggest not bringing your kids to it. But, you know, I do think that this is a movie that is so geared toward dog owners. You already mentioned, Stephen, I am a dog owner, proud dog owner of two lovely pups who sometimes get on my nerves, but I love them. Mm-hmm. And it was really, so many of the jokes are all these little great gags about dogs. Like, there's a moment where they're all trying to take, like, they decide they're going to rest for the night. And they spend, like, 2 minutes running, like, walking in circles. Like, I got to find the right spot. I got to find it. And that's what dogs do. They, like, walk in circles and you're like, what are they doing? How, like, oh, is it just right for you? Nope, not just, not right yet. Oh, now you can sit down. Like, those little jokes are just, like, meant for dog. Oh, also, like, how owners are picking up their dog's poop.
Yeah.
Bug is convinced that there's a conspiracy and that they are using the poop to make chocolate. Like, those little... it's just... those little things, I think, are so geared towards people like myself that I think, you know, if you can withstand all of the vulgar stuff. And when you think about it, look, we love our dogs, but dogs are also gross. I think that this movie really leans into that in ways that you're just going to be like, oh, yeah, my dog does that, too. And it's just it's fun.
Yeah, I think it's made with an extraordinary amount of affection for dogs.
Yeah.
It is clearly made by people who either have dogs or have spent a lot of time studying dogs. As you say, the little things like the circling in order to sit down. There's also just a willingness to go to extremes. And sometimes that means extremely vulgar. Sometimes that means more sexual than you think they're going to go. And sometimes it just means, like, when you talk about the dogs get drunk and then there's a bunch of resulting behavior, I'm sitting there thinking, like, which example is it? Is it when they got drunk or when they got high? You know, and there is a certain amount of, like, the example when they went really extreme with the sex stuff. Which time?
Was it the couch?
So, there is a lot of, like, doubling and tripling down.
Oh, yeah.
You start to get a sense where you can predict some of the outcomes based on, like, what is the grossest thing that could happen in this moment? What is the most horrifying thing that could happen in this moment? Oh, that's what's about to happen. But, man, I laughed. And I do think this movie does try to shoehorn in a few larger lessons about toxic and abusive relationships.
Absolutely.
And what can seem like affection to one person, and, like, how talking to your friends about your relationships, you can learn that some behavior is not okay. If you do happen to be misguided enough to bring small children to this movie, you can bring lessons out of it.
Yeah, I think that was, for me, what made this just a little bit smarter than your average gross out movie, is that they do layer in this idea that I think is super relatable to so many of us about thinking that we've made all the wrong choices. It's our fault that this relationship is working out, or it's my fault that they're acting this way. And when, you know, when his new friends would tell him, like, dude, that's abuse.
Right.
And then, like, Reggie kind of has to come to that epiphany, even in dog form. And when you think about the relationship that dogs have to humans and humans have to dogs, it's like, it is a very symbiotic relationship, but it can also, they are at our mercy, more or less, you know? And I think that putting that very relatable human relationship in the context of a human and dog relationship is kind of smart. And I don't know. I mean, it's not, you know, gonna break the mold, or it's, you know, it might not convince your friend who's probably in a bad relationship, like, oh, maybe I need to rethink this. Like, I don't think it's that deep.
Strays changed my life.
Strays changed my life. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think it just makes it a little bit smarter. And again, when you're talking about the DNA that's in this, whether it is Barb and Star or American Vandal, like, there's always, like, that fine line between the vulgar and the silly and then the more thoughtful stuff. And I think this movie does a pretty good job of walking that line, at least for me.
But I think it's worth noting, when we talk about the DNA of the film, I don't care that it's from the studio that brought you Ted.
No,
but it is
not.
Like, Lord and Miller are among the producers. And
again, another thing you would think they would lead with.
Right. I mean, they mentioned 21 Jump Street, which Lord and Miller, you know, worked on. But
yeah.
But one of their trademarks is taking things that you think will only kind of reach a certain degree of difficulty and make them better and harder and more interesting. Yeah. Like, they're very good at exceeding wrongly low expectations. I do think this film, like, I don't want to overrate or overstate the greatness of this film. This film is exactly what it is. It's a gross-out movie about dogs.
Yeah.
But man, it was a really fun night at the movies.
Yeah. And it's not IP, hopefully. I hope they don't do a sequel.
Oh, it is now.
Yeah, no, I think this has been a pretty good summer for original, raunchy, R-rated comedies. Yeah. And I think this is like a kind of a really nice, lighthearted way to cap off the summer, personally.
I agree completely. I have one last question for you, Aisha.
Okay.
Do you have two dogs?
Yes.
Their names are?
Liz Lemon and Lucille 2.
And Lucille 2.
Arrested Development.
everyone thanks you for that. Whomst would voice them in a movie about their lives?
Oh, okay. I've thought about this before, obviously. So I think Lucy is kind of like super chill, but also very talkative when she wants to be. But she also just has this like moody kind of quality to her. So I feel like Aubrey Plaza would probably voice Lucy.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then for Liz Lemon, I kind of think that, funny enough, I actually think Jane Krakowski would probably voice Lemon. So,
well,
because Lemon's super hyper and also very like, me, 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 look at me, look at me. Well, there's also the possibility, of course, Stephen, that they could make Strays 2, and then it's about the cats. It focuses on the cats instead. So I know you have cats.
I do have cats. I'm nervous around dogs. I had a paper route for 3 years, and I've never taken to being around dogs all the time. So I'm a cat guy.
Fair.
Who would play the cats? Let's see. Milu is a sweet little gray cat with kind of a grumpy cat face. She's sleek and smart. I'm going to give her Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Ooh.
Bashi is a ginger oaf with a sweet, wry streak. I'm going to give him Seth Rogen. I'm shocked that Seth Rogen is not in this.
I know.
Because he's in everything like this.
I know. You would think he would have had like a small cameo voice. Maybe he did and we just didn't notice it. But I feel like I would have noticed. His voice is very distinct.
It's very distinct. And he's in everything. Yeah. So I'm going to give Bashi to Seth Rogen. He's our big orange king.
All right. Coming back for the sequel.
All right. Well, we want to know what you think about Strays. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Aisha Harris, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Stephen.
We want to take a moment to thank our Pop Culture Happy Hour Plus subscribers. We appreciate you so much for showing your support of NPR. If you haven't signed up yet, want to show your support, and listen to this show without any sponsor breaks, head over to plus.npr.org/happyhour or visit the link in our show notes. This episode was produced by Hafsa Fathima and edited by Mike Katziff. Our supervising producer is Jessica Reedy, and Hello Come In provides our theme music. Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.